Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Scared to Death is explicit in every way. Please take care while listening.
Whether thou art a ghost that hath come from the earth, or a phantom of night that hath no home, or one that lieth dead in the desert, or a ghost unburied, or a demon, or a ghoul, whatever thou be, until thou art removed, thou shalt find here no water to drink. Thou shalt not stretch forth thy hand to our own. Into our house enter thou not. Through our fence break through thou not. We are protected, though we may be frightened. Our life you may not steal, though we may be scared to death.
Welcome to Scared to Death, Creeps, Peepers, Roberts, and Annabelles. It is October.
Happy Spoopy Month.
It is the best month of the year for horror. So very exciting times to do Scared to Death.
It is. I like it.
I'm Dan. You're Lindsay.
That's true.
Knock that out.
That's true.
It's true. Thanks to all the creeps and peepers who bought tickets to my 2023 Burn It All Down stand-up tour. The theater run, it's so exciting. Boise, Spokane, St. Louis, and Seattle already sold out. Mm-hmm. And second shows have now been added.
Way to go, guys. Thanks for showing up for us.
Some other markets are selling really fast. Not sure that we're going to be able to add extra shows everywhere. So on some of you are like, oh, we'll just, you know, get it closer to the time when the show is.
Nope.
It may work out, but it may not, because there's other artists who already have slots at a lot of those venues.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about it like on the bonus episode for this month about like what an interesting shift in your career and like all the things that we're learning.
Yeah, absolutely. Tickets available, dancummins.tv. And yeah, and thank you to all of those people who have already bought tickets. And I've been seeing at the club shows, you know, more people are Scared to Death shirts, and it's very, very cool.
It's so fun. I love it when you're like, when they bring you out, they'll be like, say, he's the host of blah, blah, and Scared to Death. And there's like a little like cheering section.
Yeah.
And then if I happen to be there, people are like, yeah. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. New merch in the Bad Magic store this week. Part of the new design look that Logan has been using for weeks now. Logan is calling this new collection Halloween Stroll, featuring a pumpkin-headed creature lurking at the edge of town. Perfect way to kick off our first October episode. Design available as always on a tee. Also on a trick-or-treat tote bag and a new blanket. And you can check that out at badmagicmerch.com. You can check out these designs that we're wearing that go
along.
Can you
see my guy?
Yeah, that go along with a Scared to Death Live Haunted Halloween.
Zoom in on my left breast.
True Tales of Hallows Eve Horror 2. And this is that show that, you know, the stories that'll just live only on the live show.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be part of the podcast feed or on Patreon. And that is going to be Thursday, October 27th, 6 p.m., Pacific time through Moment, and you can get the tickets at badmagicmerch.com.
And then
merch goes along with the show.
Limited edition merch. Dan's got the witch tea.
Yeah,
I just ordered the witch blanket for myself. I'm excited. And also just for those who've been asking, the show will be available for 7 days afterwards. So like if that's too late for you to stay up or whatever, I like your move.
Well, I had to get the book out of there.
But yeah, it'll be available for a while afterwards. So you can listen to it through Halloween, which I just imagine will be so fun.
Yep, that is good info to add. And then I think you just had one more thing. You wanted to talk about our charity for October, and then we're off to Storyville.
And we're off. Yes. Okay, so this month, we realized we hadn't donated to an animal cause yet this year, so we're excited. This is human/animal cause. Guide dogs for the blind. I mean, y'all know how much we love our fur babies, and they would be terrible guide dogs, but there are other dogs that are wonderfully trained to help those that are vision impaired. Their mission statement says that we believe in connecting people, dogs, and communities to transform the lives of individuals with visual impairments. So for more information on that, you can go to guidedogs.com. Of course, our donation amount is yet to be determined as we're recording in advance, but we'll fill you in on that soon.
Yep, exactly.
It's like a sweet one. We've had like some really like heavy charities this year because it's 2022.
Yeah.
But I love this one. It's just kind of a little bit lighter.
I think the dogs could be. Penny, if she was trained correctly, could know a crazy amount of tricks. With very little training.
Yes.
She can spin, jump, lay down, roll. No, it doesn't roll over.
Well, she can kind of roll over. She Monroe and I have
paws
like...
with both. But I mean, with very little training.
Uh-huh.
She is so food motivated.
Uh-huh.
I think she could be a circus dog. She could be a guide dog.
I don't think she could be a guide dog just because she doesn't have the sniffer for it.
Mm.
And she's easily distracted by food, the sounds of wrappers.
True.
Ginger, on the other hand, her sniffer is out of control. She is such a good sniffer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that she actually, and she is a little bit more sensitive and can be easily redirected.
That's true.
This is like Penny is Monroe and Kyler is Ginger. I feel like I'm describing our children. Who's more easily reprimanded and put in their place?
Oh, man.
Kyler.
They're both pretty good, but yeah, Kyler.
Kyler's easier to redirect.
Yeah.
Monroe is.
She's more stubborn, but she's also very good.
She's a little tiny Dan Cummins.
She's very good.
Yeah, they're both great.
Yeah.
No one said they weren't great.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, you shouldn't have to be redirected too much. But yes, she's
I love
stubborn.
How you're defending our kids. It's like, it's okay. Kids do things all the time that require direction.
True. What kind of horror do you have for all of us today, Lulu?
I have two hoes that I'm super excited about.
Two hoes.
We said horrors. What kind of horrors do I have? My first story is we might have, on the fan side, for the first time ever, our own Darren.
Oh, okay.
A fan, Darren. A self
admittedly? Okay,
admittedly
great.
So, which makes it even better.
Yeah.
And then my second story, some sort of creepy ass creature, possible skinwalker on the side of the road. This had me so freaked out. I'm pumped about these stories.
Okay, good. I have my two. The first is set in the woods of Alabama, and the next is set all over Canada. First is about a ghost said to roam the grounds of Alabama's Haines Island Park. The second involves a trifecta of UFO sightings in Canada from 1967 that for many are still the most concrete proof for UFOs that Canada has ever produced.
Hmm.
So let me know when your socks are on and you're ready to get anxious.
My socks are on. I've got on some appropriate Halloween witches. Hold on, let me rotate. I'm not good at this. When do you guys think I'm going to get good at this? We're 4 years in. I need like a mark on the wall to aim for. I also can't believe I never had this blanket before. The protection spell blanket.
Yeah, yeah. We've had
what
that forever.
What have I been doing for the past 4 years? I'm ready.
I forgot we had that blanket in a while, a couple tattoos ago when I was with Will XX.
Oh, yeah.
He had it on the wall of his studio and I was like, oh, dude, that's a cool blanket.
Oh, no, it's not the blanket. It's the flag. It's
yeah, that's right.
Tapestry.
Tapestry. But and he was like, yeah, bro, that's yours. I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, man, Will XX, I know we got to dive in, but he just tattooed your face on somebody's arm. And
oh, God, for time to get. It's wild.
Cool and interesting.
Okay, so a little bit of setup on this first one. Nancy Mountain is a place within the Haines Island Park located near Haines Island in the state of Alabama on the Alabama River. I got to say, coming from the mountains of central Idaho, the Sawtooth Range, Seven Devils, the Bitterroot, Salmon River Mountains, Nancy Mountain is not a mountain, in my opinion.
is it a big hill?
It's barely a hill.
Okay.
But that's the name. This thickly forested park is supposedly haunted by Nancy, the spirit of an unfortunate mother from the era of the American Civil War. According to legend, Nancy and her family once lived on the small mountain, a.k.a. ground slightly higher, maybe 50, 100 feet higher at the most in the surrounding area. Her son enlisted in the Confederate Army once the war began, was killed in combat, and to add extra tragedy, his body was never found.
Hmm.
Day after day, Nancy walked from her home to the river where there was once a steamboat landing. She hoped that one day her son would return on one of the boats. If he wasn't alive, she at least hoped his body would arrive so that she could bury his remains. She carried a lantern and a pail of water with her every day to the river, just in case he came home. Nancy's husband, also devastated by their loss, and set out to search for his missing son. And then Nancy eventually received word that her husband was found frozen to death.
Ooh.
His body laying on the ground near an unknown soldier's grave in Tennessee. Soon after this, Nancy herself disappeared and was never seen again. Nancy's former home no longer exists, but some have claimed to see her spirit wandering the trails of Haines Island Park at night, lantern in hand. People report seeing a woman in a white gown walking on the trails and by the riverbanks. Others have claimed to see just a floating lantern with no one holding it. Some Corps of Engineers rangers who did work on the island have stories of numerous campers telling them about seeing the spirit of Nancy. This campsite appears to be a much lesser known paranormal hotspot, which may explain why some campers are surprised and horrified when they encounter a ghost they never expected or wanted to see. Time now for the tale of the ghost of Nancy. The week of Thanksgiving break was always a strange time, or at least Ian thought so. It felt silly to him to spend time and money going home when he would see his family less than a month later anyway, but for the past 3 years, he had dutifully traveled home to avoid upsetting his mother. He was back in the tiny town he grew up in Monroe County, Alabama. Ian attended school in Florida. It was expensive compared to in-state tuition, and he'd have loans to pay off eventually, but it was worth it to him to be in a warm tropical place overflowing with beaches and beautiful girls in bikinis, and it was far enough from home to have the independence he'd always wanted, but still close enough to easily come back for holidays and such. This was the first time he'd brought home one of those beautiful girls. Ian had brought his girlfriend Sarah with him for Thanksgiving break. Sarah had some family problems, specifically with her mother, and had no holiday plans. Ian didn't want her to be alone, so he'd invited her to spend the holiday with him and his family. He was a bit nervous to show her his hometown. They'd only been together for about 3 months. Would she think less of him when she saw the tiny backwoods place he'd grown up in? Would she start to see him as some kind of hick or something? Would she like his parents and friends or think they were hicks? They hadn't talked much about where he'd grown up. He'd just have to find out over the next few days. Thankfully, everything went smoothly. Ian's parents loved Sarah right away, and so did his friends. They all met up at one of the few bars in town and immediately hit it off with her over drinks and a game of pool. Ian's friends invited them to go camping at Haines Island Park. They'd already planned the trip. Ian knew about it, but hadn't made a commitment yet. They were supposed to go over the summer, but there had been issues with PTO and scheduling, and now this was the only time they would all be in town for their annual camping weekend. The weekend was actually going to be Tuesday morning through Wednesday. Since the ferry was only running on weekdays, and they didn't want to be stranded over the weekend or have to drive way out of their way to get around the ferry. An old cable ferry that's no longer there. Man, that thing was something. Always felt like you might get swept away in the river. It was a last-minute invite. Ian worried that Sarah wouldn't want to go, but she didn't hesitate and seemed excited about it. The trip was going so well, it was perfect. The next day, Ian's friend Cooper picked them up. His other friends, Jen, Mike, and Tyler, were already in the car. It was packaged to the brim with 5 people in camping gear. They got to the campground without any trouble. They waved at the ferry driver as he left them alone across the river. It seemed like they were the only ones there, which was exactly why they wanted to go at this time. Ian suspected some of his friends might have packed a few things besides camping gear. The group wasted no time setting up their tents and exploring, and the weather was perfect. Chilly, a light breeze in the air, none of the heat and humidity of the summer. That night, they ate ramen, cooked over a small camp stove, drank some cold beer, and spent hours catching up. Ian hoped that Sarah might want to have some alone time in their tent, but she went to sleep about a half hour before everyone else, saying she was really tired and just couldn't stay awake anymore. Ian looked at her face, illuminated by the glow of the lantern. He was surprised she was so tired. They'd gotten plenty of sleep the night before. Sure, it was late, just after midnight, but he and Sarah had pulled plenty of all-nighters before, and she'd never looked like this. As he continued to look her over, he actually started to get worried about her. Her skin was pale, her cheeks lacking their normal pink color. She had dark circles under her eyes, like she hadn't slept in days. He also noticed that she seemed to be shivering a little. "Are you okay? You look like you don't feel good." "I'm just tired," she smiled at him. "All that hiking must have worn me out. I'm out of shape." She patted him on the shoulder and made the short walk to their tent. Everyone settled down for the night soon after Sarah left. Less than a half hour after Sarah crashed for the night, Ian was unzipping the tent, and he saw her curled up in a sleeping bag. She was wide awake, eyes staring blankly at the space in front of her. "Hey, you still up? I thought you were tired." Ian sat down next to her. Sarah looked up at him, seeming to notice him for the first time. "I am. I just can't sleep." She sighed. "I think I'm a little scared. I've never been camping before," she admitted. Ian's eyebrows shot up. "Why didn't you just tell me that?" She laughed. "I didn't want to be that girlfriend who makes you feel like you can't hang out with your friends. Besides, it's been fun today. Just a lot more exhausting than I thought it would be. I also didn't think there would be so many noises at night." Ian laughed too. "Well, we are outside. I won't tell you about all the creepy crawlies we might find in our tent when we wake up." "Jerk," she huffed, but he could see her smiling as she turned away from him. Sarah acted like she felt fine, but Ian noticed that she tended to downplay it anytime she felt uncomfortable. She still had those dark circles under her eyes and was still shivering when they fell asleep. At least Sarah was able to fall asleep. He just laid there wide awake. Ian soon found himself becoming pretty irritated. Why couldn't he sleep? Was it Tyler's snores coming from the next tent over? No, he usually could fall asleep no matter what was going on around him. He considered it a gift. He wasn't scared of any bugs or animals that might be outside, and he knew there weren't any predators on the island. So what was it? Frustrated, Ian carefully removed his arms from around Sarah and pulled out his cigarettes and a lighter. Sarah hated that he smoked and fussed any time she caught him. He picked up the habit in high school. While he was better about it now, he just hadn't been able to completely quit. When he was really stressed, smoking before bed always calmed his nerves and helped him sleep a little easier. Ian stood just outside the tent, smoking his cigarette and staring off into the dark woods. He had to admit to himself it was a little creepy. The chill and the breeze were still there, rustling the leaves around him. His mind wanted to fill the dark space with creepy images. He shook his head every time he swore he saw a face off in the distance. Ian was almost done smoking when he saw a tiny light way out there. It looked like it was bobbing up and down, slowly moving along. He knew the trail was over in that direction. Could someone be walking the trail at this hour? He knew it wasn't one of his friends. He'd been awake the whole time and would have heard them leave camp. Something felt wrong about what he was seeing. They were all sure they were the only ones at the park tonight. The thought of someone hiding out in the woods around them that they didn't know gave him the creeps. There weren't any homes in nighttime walking distance, so it wouldn't be some local. Maybe it wasn't anyone. The light was so small, so far away. Ian couldn't see well from a distance, especially at night, and he didn't have his glasses on. It could just be the glow of an animal's eyes or something else he couldn't think of. Not a person wandering alone in the woods at night. Definitely not that. Ian threw his cigarette away in a plastic bag and headed back into the tent, trying to ignore the uneasiness that had just settled inside of him. He laid down next to Sarah, and she didn't move at all. He thought that was odd. Normally, she was a pretty light sleeper. She must really be exhausted. Ian also noticed that Sarah wasn't just very still. She wasn't taking in breaths like a person normally does in deep sleep. He put one hand on her back, waiting for the rise and fall, but nothing happened. A bolt of panic surged through him, but he didn't want to wake Sarah up if she wasn't feeling well. Now he placed a finger under her nose and sighed in relief when he felt a tiny puff of air. Ian lay down and wrapped an arm around Sarah over her sleeping bag. His racing heart settled, and surprisingly, his eyes drifted shut. Tiredness came over him in a wave, and before he knew it, he was finally asleep. And then, sometime before morning, panic. A feeling of pure panic. What was happening? Ian was woken up by the feeling of his arms being pinned down and something heavy kneeling on his legs. When he opened his eyes, everything was dark. It took a moment for his vision to adjust. It was early, not even close to sunrise. Sarah was on top of him, pinning him down. She was staring at him, a look of intense concentration on her face from what he could see. Her eyes bore into his as if searching for something. Ian thought it was a little strange, the odd way she was looking at him. He also hoped she was suddenly feeling a lot better and had woken him up with one thing in mind. He grinned. It's a little early, but... And then he was stunned silent. Sarah's face now changed. Ian watched the transformation happen right in front of him. It happened so quick. Sarah wasn't Sarah anymore. She was older, wrinkled, with hair so silver it almost shined in the dark tent. Her eyes different, too. They weren't Sarah's dark brown eyes. They were blue, and they were staring right at him. What? Sarah, what's happening? He croaked, finding it difficult to speak. He tried to scramble backwards, but couldn't. Somehow the small body on top of him was keeping him pinned to the ground. He couldn't move an inch. She was incredibly strong. His eyes shifted to the right now. When he'd fallen asleep, Sarah had been tucked against him, but now she was laying pressed against the wall of the tent like she'd been pushed aside. Did he do that? No, wait, what was happening? Whatever was on top of him must have done that. His attention was immediately brought back to the strange woman, not Sarah, pinning him to the ground. Who? He stuttered, but he couldn't get the question out. Ian's heart was pounding, fear and adrenaline surging through him. Was this the person he thought he saw carrying the lantern earlier? It must be. What did she want? How did she look like Sarah before? Why couldn't he scream for help? It's me. The woman whispered in a gravelly hiss, as if she hadn't spoken for a long time. Her voice grated against his ears, only serving to increase the terror he felt. Ian still couldn't speak. His eyes widened and he shook his head back and forth in denial, trying to tell the woman he didn't know her. Ian's heart hammered in his chest. His muscles tensed up, screaming at him to do something, anything, but he couldn't move. The woman now brought one freezing cold hand against his mouth, covering his nostrils and blocking his airway. Ian panicked, trying to move his head, trying now to lift his hand free, but he was locked in place. No, 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 repeated over and over inside his head, the only coherent thought he could form. His panic, his internal struggle increased by the second. The woman leaned towards him, bringing her face within an inch of his own. I found you, she whispered, a massive grin splitting her face. Ian! Ian! Ian, I'm coming in! Suddenly he could move again. He shot upright, taking in a shaky breath and looking all around him. The woman was gone. In her place was Tyler, who was crouching in the tent and looking at him, concern visible on his face. Ian still couldn't speak. His heart pounded. He had trouble catching his breath as if he was winded from a long run. Are you okay, man? Ian heard shuffling next to him. Sarah now sat up and was looking back and forth from Ian to Tyler, also confused. "What's going on?" she asked. She looked worried, too. "Are you okay? What's wrong?" she asked. Ian couldn't answer. Tyler spoke instead. "I heard all this shuffling around from your tent, and then I heard someone breathing super loud. Sounded like one of you was hyperventilating. I called out, no one answered, so I came inside, and I found him like this." Finally, after what felt like an eternity, Ian was able to catch his breath and speak. He told an edited version of the truth. He said that he woke up on his back, feeling like he was being pinned down by someone. Scared him. He must have had a panic attack. Everyone was worried, but it seemed like they believed him. They decided to end the camping trip early and get on the ferry as soon as it started running for the day. It was only when Ian and Sarah were alone that he told her what really happened. He thought he sounded like he'd had some kind of mental break, but he had a realization on the ferry ride. Sarah got sick and tired, and then he saw the light. After Sarah fell asleep, the woman appeared. He felt like she must have used Sarah's energy somehow to manifest herself and make contact with him. Ian had believed in ghosts as long as he could remember, and he knew that there was no way someone could explain what had happened to him in any other way. But Sarah didn't believe him. She insisted it was just sleep paralysis or maybe anxiety, blamed his smoking habit, reminding him that nicotine caused anxiety. She insisted that she wasn't as sick as Ian thought she had been. She was just tired and worn out. Ian was so frustrated that she didn't believe him, disappointed, a little hurt too. And then all that, combined with a few other problems with their relationship, but mostly the ordeal with the ghost, honestly, led to them breaking up. He felt that had to be one of the strangest reasons to break up ever. But there it was. Strong disagreement over a malevolent spirit. Ian still doesn't know what happened to him or why. Maybe it was sleep paralysis, but he doubts it. After reading about the legend of Nancy, he thinks she went completely mad waiting for her son to return, and that she's still waiting and still mad in death. He can't find any pictures of what her son looked like, or her actually, but he is certain she looked like the woman, exactly like the woman he saw that night, and that her son must have looked a lot like him.
That is a cool story.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one.
I'm a little sad they broke up.
Kind of a funny reason to break up.
I know, but also I do kind of get it, because it's like... Mm-hmm.
If you felt you had a very powerful paranormal experience.
Yeah.
And with someone as mm-hmm. well, with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just refuse to believe it. I could see if you were like, you know, especially a lifelong believer in the paranormal.
Right.
It's like how that...
Well, it was like a new relationship. I mean, they were like 3 months in. Yeah,
it wasn't like super serious college age.
Yeah.
But I can see how that could, you know, along with a few other problems, be like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that story, I really like it.
You better believe me when I tell you these things happen. It's like,
I will say, as this podcast has gone on, I was actually talking about this on stage in South Florida. I'm such an idiot with stuff. I did not look when I was touring down there exactly where Miami is in relation to the other cities.
Yeah.
And assumed I was in the Miami area. I was not. I mean, I was ish. But I was in Dania and I was in West Palm Beach.
My fake nose ring is falling down.
That's look cool.
I know. I'm trying it out, guys. If you can see it, I have a little fake nose ring in, but it fell down while you were talking. And I was like, oh it tickles when they're fake and they move around.
But I was talking on stage about that, about how, you know, just thanking people for listening to Scared to Death and saying that I started off super skeptical mm-hmm. and going into it was like, most of these stories are probably from, you know, it's probably just nonsense or maybe even all of them. And as it's gone on,
mm-hmm.
I am for sure a believer.
Uh-huh. How do you feel about crystals?
I'm still on the fence about crystals. But I will say,
you have a partner,
mm-hmm.
you know, who really, and I just, I would hate for that to like be the catalyst.
Oh boy, that's the straw. You know what?
That's the thing I can't take.
I'm open to there being things. It's funny with the crystal stuff. What gets me is when people adamantly claim that they know exactly what power, like, because some people take it so far.
Sure.
And they're like, well, this will help your immune system. And I'm like, you don't know that. You can think it does. But like that's a different thing than I saw a shadowy entity in the distance. Claiming that something helps your immune system requires study, requires you gotta have a control group, an experimental group.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
Requires some lab work.
Okay, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I do. But like, you saying you saw something to me is just as wild of a claim, because it's like, you can't prove that you saw something.
Okay, here's the difference on the paranormal side.
Yeah.
The difference to me is like, okay, I think I just saw something, or I did see something. I saw a shadowy figure moving, a humanoid, definitely moving around the house, me mm-hmm. and somebody else.
Oh, well now.
Okay, but either just me or me and someone else, either one.
Yeah.
That is a different claim than, I saw a shadowy figure. It is definitely from the third realm of hell. And I had to stay away from it because it has psychic powers and could have definitely like turned my mind against me. It's like you add all these extra things. I'm like, to me, that's when it jumps a shark, where it's like, you can think maybe.
It jumps a what?
Jumps a shark. No longer believable. Isn't that the term?
I've never heard that. That doesn't mean it's not real. I just haven't heard it.
Tyler, have you ever heard the phrase that just jumped a shark?
I technically have not, but Logan said, so.
All right. Okay. So Logan's heard. Okay, good.
Well, all right. Sorry. I forgot my foot pillow that makes my legs higher.
And that's how I feel about a lot of stuff out of the science world, like, you know, spirituality and stuff. I'm like, that there's a sense of mystery to it.
Yeah.
And I'm very open to the mystery. And I think I am a believer in a lot of that stuff. It's just when people get real, like, well, here's the exact rules, ding, 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 mm-hmm. that I have pause.
Okay.
Not just me.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to see some pics?
I do.
This first one is of Haines Island State Park. See, it's not really mountainous. There's some hills out way in the distance.
Well, that looks like a mountain way out in the distance.
But even if you got close to that mountain, it's like, it's so flat out there. That could be a couple hundred feet maybe. As opposed to like really coming.
As opposed to...
like rising out of the
earth. I like it.
This next one, old cable ferry that took you across the river.
Yeah, this I want to see because I didn't understand. Okay.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird. I've never seen a ferry like that. And I didn't know when it said like, oh, it feels like it could wash you away. Then I was like, wait, do they mean gondola and not ferry? I was so confused.
It's the same mechanism as a gondola, but it's just pulling this, big barge back and forth across that slow moving river.
People, one thing, a car, that feels dicey.
This next one, part of a heavily shaded wooded trail in the park.
That's really pretty, actually.
Mm-hmm. And then this
It would be so creepy at night.
Yeah. And then this is the Nancy Mountain trailhead. So they got her name on the Nancy Mountain trail there. And then this is another pic from the park. This is on the other side of the park.
Okay.
Now, that's a scary old ghost woman or something from the 2007 horror film Dead Silence.
Okay, you got me a little bit.
I just thought maybe that's what the woman on Ian's chest looked like. Yeah. No thanks. That's some good makeup.
Are you sure that's a no thanks? Because, like, I could replicate that and wake you up like that. I was thinking, like, my brain gets more and more mischievous as we go on, where I'm like, oh, my God. That'd be pretty great if you woke up thinking that you were going to get some lovely lovemaking.
Uh-huh.
And then instead, I was very, very scary.
I'd like some makeup on. That would be pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Later.
I know. And here's the thing. I'm not going to record that. So
it would be worth it.
Yeah.
I've been thinking more about a horror prank with Monroe. Now, it's been enough time since I did Kyler with the tiny speaker in his bedroom.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
Monroe's into horror movies now,
Wait, hold on. Emerson, don't tell your cousin.
Oh, yeah.
Our nephew listens to this. Do not tell Monroe or else you're out.
Same prank. There's been enough time, especially if...
She has a good memory.
She has a good memory, but I think there's been enough time where I don't think she would catch it if I put the little tiny speaker, hid it in her room, started playing horror stuff when she's trying to go to bed at night. She goes to bed early after doing a weeknight. And she can handle it now.
Don't do it on a weeknight. That ruins her for school the next day.
Nah, she'd be good.
I don't think so. That child is, we're already like cutting off her Red Bull consumption. She has 5 Red Bulls a week.
I know. We're working on
it. Don't judge us. No, you do that on a Friday or Saturday.
Yep. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, if you do it during a week.
I have to deal with the consequences.
Yep. You have to make sure she gets up for school the next day.
Totally.
Okay. What did I have? Oh yeah, that like thing about like Ian saying that he thought that Nancy stole Sarah's energy or somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I love that as an idea. Like I didn't even because it could have been as simple as like she really was just tired and then like Nancy showed up. Like, but what a fascinating concept to kind of think about, like the only way Nancy can get there is if she can only come back if she drains the energy of another woman, right? And then uses that woman's energy to find her son and like that whole like I found you. I really liked that whole concept.
Yeah, this far in we're still constantly coming across new story details aren't familiar.
Yeah, I like it.
Are you prepared for more proof that there really probably UFOs out there.
Oh, no.
Watching us. I really like this one. Speaking of things, like, we've been doing this long and haven't heard of, can't believe I hadn't heard of these stories.
Can I tell you an idea that I came up with that I can't believe we haven't heard, just because it's right on the tip of my tongue? When I was flying home from New Orleans, I was working on these stories, and I was like, wait a second. Have we ever had ghosts on a plane?
Ooh, no.
And because it was a
late. That's a good one.
I know. It was dark and it was late and some people were up. Some people had their little screens on. Some people didn't.
Ooh, that's a real good
and
one.
And I was catching shadows out of the corner of my eye and I was scaring the bejesus out of myself.
I want to say, I can't remember if it was in the show or not, but I know I at least read a story about, it was a like a military plane, like an old one.
Yeah.
And that there were like ghosts that would be spotted on. I can't remember if they were spotted up in the air or not. But there was a haunted plane scenario, but not like what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just like, what if like you like, wait a second, that's not a flight attendant.
Mm-hmm.
And in a confined space.
People die in planes sometimes.
With tons of strangers. People die in planes more often than you think. Mm-hmm. And or planes are transporting bodies in the cargo hold.
Yeah.
I know. It's such a great idea. Somebody take that, write a movie. That would be a fucking awesome movie.
Okay, now you ready for UFOs?
Now I'm ready.
Before we examine some possible signs of alien life, let's first see what our sponsors have to say in today's mid-show break. What is the most basic gift you have ever given the moms in your life for Mother's Day? Flowers? A candle? Some random knickknack you picked up at the last minute because you completely spaced Mother's Day?
I have definitely made the mistake of procrastinating gifts for Mother's Day, and then, like the Friday before, I run to whatever store is open and convince myself that, yes, my mom does need another coffee mug that declares she's the world's best. So lame.
This year, how about one upping yourself by giving the moms in your life an Aura picture frame? Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to any mom at any age. Aura frames connect easily to Wi-Fi and have unlimited storage so you can share as many pictures as you want.
This year, as many of you know, I am on a spending freeze, but one of my carve-outs was meaningful gifts for the people I love. I don't want to give all of the moms in our lives something that won't bring them joy. We are giving Aura frames to the moms in our world because they are timeless, heartwarming gifts.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code SCARED at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, which means you need to sort out your gift situation ASAP, creeps and peepers. The mom figures in your life have stories to tell about how they became who they are today, from hilarious to heartfelt, from silly to spoopy.
This year, give the perfect gift for Mother's Day, a gift that will capture all of the memories of the moms in your life forever. Give her StoryWorth. Each week for an entire year, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question. When the questions are complete, StoryWorth compiles the answers and creates a stunning storybook that you can cherish for all time.
My brother is going to be so irritated with me. I actually bought my mom's StoryWorth last year, and the end result was so incredible. And then as I was reading my mom's story, I found myself jotting down new questions that I wanted to ask of her. So this year, I'm going to gift it to her again. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, we are always wishing we could have asked our loved ones just one more question. So why not ask them now? I'm really pumped for this second round of StoryWorth with my mom. I know I will never regret reading her stories.
Give all of the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/scared. That's StoryWorth.com/scared to save $10 on your first purchase.
Taco Tuesday, Meatless Monday, breakfast for dinner. Whatever you crave and whatever you need to get you through the week, Factor has you covered. With their never frozen, chef curated, dietitian approved, ready to eat meals, you can skip the store, skip the prep, and simply enjoy a delicious meal.
Spring is here, and I bet some of you are realizing you have a lot to accomplish. Spring cleaning around the house, spring break fun with your kids, or maybe you're training for your first race this spring. Whatever it is that you need to get done, Factor has the meals to fuel you through your days. I've been really dedicated to my workouts this year, but before I head to the gym at 6 a.m., I need a little fuel. I chug a Factor protein shake, and off I go. I'm loving the cinnamon horchata and the chocolate banana flavors right now.
While Dan is working out, I'm still rehabbing my old lady hips, which means I'm not working out at all. I have been super conscious about what I've been putting into my body to aid its recovery. Factor has been a huge help to me. I'm currently obsessed with their cold-pressed juice variety pack, which is loaded with vitamins, minerals, and anti-inflammatory properties to support my recovery.
Head to factormeals.com/scaredtodeath50 and use code scaredtodeath50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code scaredtodeath50 at factormeals.com/scaredtodeath50 for 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Thanks for sticking around, Creeps and Peepers. Use those codes and landing pages if you're going to do some shopping with our sponsors, please, so they know you listen. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Shibbity shoppity.
Ready now to go full X-Files. In 1967.
You know, I never watched that show.
I know, I loved it. Canada was visited by multiple UFOs, or at least that's what some claim. It would begin in May of that year, and an initial random encounter would soon be followed by a second sighting, and then there would be seemingly a third extraterrestrial event witnessed by dozens of people. To this day, many people wonder why these mysterious crafts seemed to be attracted to Canada that year. Was it merely coincidence, mass hallucinations and hysteria, or was there something on the ground that these entities were seeking? And if so, did they find what they were looking for? Time now for the tale of Canada's Year of the UFO. In Falcon Lake, Manitoba, in May of 1967, an amateur geologist named Stefan Milahek went prospecting in the wilderness east of Winnipeg, expecting to find perhaps some old coins, crumbling structures, or a rusty tool. And then he found something vastly more interesting than any of that. Brushing the low-hanging branches of pine trees aside, Stefan peered into a valley. He couldn't believe his eyes. At first, he thought maybe he was dehydrated or that he must have been seeing some strange reflection off the snowy peaks. But then it started to hum. The distinct sound was coming from a silver saucer-shaped craft about 10 meters wide, grounded on the valley floor. It appeared to be emitting something, though Stefan couldn't describe exactly what. It was some combination of sound, warmth, and light. Nothing like he'd ever seen, felt, or heard coming from anything before. Little squiggles danced in front of his eyes. His fingertips seemed to begin to warm up. And he heard a low buzz in the back of his head that felt like it was coming from inside of him. Stefan knew he'd be angry with himself if he didn't hike down and investigate the source of these mysterious sensations. Or would he? He currently couldn't fully decide what his emotions were. It was like this thing was scrambling them. He was a little afraid, maybe, or jittery. He had trouble controlling his hands, which were fidgeting at his sides. But in his chest, he could feel something like euphoria, swelling bigger and bigger like a balloon. His breathing was quick and shallow. I've got to get down there, he thought. But did he think that? He also had no idea if it was a thought that he came up with or if it was someone else's thought, perhaps a thought put into his head by someone or something else. Maybe a message from something that communicated differently than human beings, something that either used some kind of telepathy or didn't have the barriers of privacy between its mind and other minds that human beings have. As soon as he walked down into the valley, all these concerns melted away, and only one thought filled his mind. What the fuck was that? As he got closer, he heard the whir of engines coming from an open door. He desperately wanted to know what lay inside that door, but it was impossible to crane his neck high enough to see through it. The ship was massive. It had only looked tiny from up above and a ways away. Stefan now felt his stomach sinking. When it had looked tiny, it seemed far less threatening. Now he realized that he didn't know if this was a craft, or if the vessel was a creature or being of some kind itself, possessing some kind of intelligence all its own. He suddenly thought the whirring sounds that the thing continually emitted sounded a lot like breathing, if he just paid close enough attention. Or maybe it was growling. He raised a hand to show that he didn't mean it, or the things inside of it, if there were things inside of it, any harm. And then when he slowly placed his hand on the vessel, boom! Immediately a blast of compressed air shot out at Stefan, scorching his shirt, hat, and skin. With another blast of air, the thing took off, but Stefan wasn't following it with his eyes, he was looking at his hand. His gloves had been burned through, and his fingertips, where he touched the craft, had been burned an unnatural-looking red. He was in so much pain that he would later remember few of the hours that followed. Or maybe the pain wasn't the reason why he didn't remember. Either way, his memory of these events wouldn't begin to crystallize until he was in a nearby hospital being treated for his burns. Months after the encounter, he would have to be treated for recurring blackouts. He would still report that his senses were scrambled, that up felt like it was down, color seemed to have the quality of sounds, and so on. Did he have some kind of mental breakdown, ingest some sort of hallucinogen that sent him on a long and terrible trip? He sure doesn't seem to think so. Also, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police would allegedly discover a barren 15-foot circle containing highly radioactive soil where Stefan reported seeing the UFO. Strange coincidence, if not evidence of his story being true. More sightings followed this incredible tale. Just 2 months later, in July of 1967, in Kananaskis, Alberta, journalist and novelist Warren Smith spotted a shiny disc quickly rising and falling overhead. He took two photos before the object disappeared into the distance. Later, he'd mail them to the Department of National Defense. And I'll show those later. After both Canadian and American intelligence studied the pictures, they concluded that he had indeed seen two unidentified flying objects, about 15 meters in diameter and 3 meters tall. The agencies added in an official report, "If the story and photographs are a hoax, then it is a well-prepared one." The third and final sighting of note of 1967 would occur in Shag Harbor, Nova Scotia, in October. Late on the evening of October 4th, at least 11 witnesses in this tiny town of 400 or 500 people, including Royal Canadian Mounted Police officers, sailors, and pilots flying nearby, all reported seeing a large object with four flashing lights hovering above, then crashing into the harbor. En route to Toronto, while flying over Sherbrooke and St. Jean, Quebec, at 12,000 feet, from the Halifax International Airport, Air Canada First Officer Robert Ralph pointed out to Captain Pierre Charbonneau on Flight 305 that there was something strange flying past the left side of the aircraft at 7:15 p.m. In his report, the captain spoke of an object tracking along on a parallel course a few miles away. He describes it as a brilliantly lit rectangular object with a string of smaller lights trailing the object. At 7:19, the pilots noticed a sizable silent explosion near the large object. 2 minutes later, a second explosion occurred, which faded into a blue cloud around the object. Meanwhile, on the ground, Daryl Dory, his sister Annette, and his mother were sitting on their front porch in Mahone Bay when they noticed a large object maneuvering above the southwestern horizon. And also in the harbor, while standing at the wheelhouse of his vessel, Captain Leo Howard Mercy was looking at four blips on his DECA radar that appeared to be stationary. When he looked up, about 17 miles from the vessel's windows, he could see the four bright objects situated in a roughly rectangular formation. The entire crew of nearly 20 fishermen stood on deck, watched the object floating in the northeastern sky. Mercy radioed the Rescue Coordination Center and the harbor master in Halifax, asking for an explanation, and filed a report with the Lunenburg RCMP. And then, the big object crashed into the water. Assuming an aircraft had crashed, within about 15 minutes, two Royal Canadian Mounted Police officers arrived at the scene. Concerned for survivors, the RCMP detachment contacted the Rescue Coordination Center in Halifax to advise them of the situation and ask if any aircraft were missing. But then, before any attempt at rescue could be made, the flying object, with lights still showing, started to sink and then disappeared from view. A rescue mission was quickly assembled. Within half an hour of the crash, local fishing boats went out to the crash site in the waters of the Gulf of Maine off Shag Harbor to look for survivors. But no survivors were ever found, nor any debris. Instead, authorities did find sulfurous yellow foam on the surface of the water. One man would later report the same kind of angry burn Stefan Milahek received when he touched the foamy substance. Countless diving expeditions, including one as recent as 2018, still have not turned up any wreckage. So what the hell was happening in Canada in 1967? What were those things? What did they want? And where are they now?
They're coming back.
I have a lot of photos from this this one.
When you said that thing about the yellow sulfur burn, I had made a note about the guy in the beginning that he probably had radioactive burns.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and it appears he did.
I'm a genius.
There's crazy pictures. This first picture is a pic of Stefan Milahek, treated at a hospital for burns to his chest and stomach, in addition to his hands, that turned into raised sores in like a grid-like pattern.
I was just going to say, that's so bizarre.
Isn't that a weird photo?
If you're listening and unable to watch on YouTube, the photos are on our social media, Scared to Death Podcast on Instagram.
Or Facebook, yep.
Yeah, or Facebook. But if you can't do either or are uninterested in social media, it looks like a Connect Four checkerboard on his stomach. These, like, I don't know, dime-ish, maybe even nickel-sized, raised circular grid pattern on his very hairy chest.
Yeah, well, like on his stomach. Yeah,
on his stomach.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Whatever, to me, they're all the same. One big hairy
torso. And this next picture is a Stefan's sketch of the strange craft that he said he encountered.
Okay. I mean, definitely what we think of when we think of a UFO.
Yeah, kind of like the classic UFO structure.
Yep.
This next one, Warren Smith's, those two pics of that shiny disc spotted quickly rising and falling, in the sky above Kananaskis is just a word I'm not familiar with. Kananaskis, Alberta.
And you said there's two?
Yeah, it's just like
is it the same photo in different colorways?
I don't know exactly. That's just what I couldn't
okay,
find.
Okay, it is in fact the same. Okay, well, I can tell you.
You can see the trees are a little bit different in each photo.
No, it's just, in my opinion,
a slightly different angle.
I think you're just seeing, it's just cropped differently. Mm. But I think the point of, I think the contrast was changed just to help call out where
oh,
it is.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, however, okay, so if you're looking at this, the photo on the left has like a red or sepia tone, and you can see it. The flying object is sort of like towards the middle of where the two photos yeah. are. Okay, now if you're looking in the black and white, like gray one, you see the same one parallel to the one that we saw in the sepia tone. But then if you go down, if you're on the gray one, go down yeah. a little bit to the right, you see that other dark spot?
Yeah, I think
yep,
that's
Tyler, you've
cloud.
Got it. Yep. So it's like, I think maybe in one photo yeah. you can see two UFOs possibly.
Yep.
So maybe that's the point of the contrast.
Yeah. That sounds good to me.
Yeah. I can convince people of just about anything.
And then this next one, old Halifax newspaper from 1967.
Halifax News.
I know, from the Secret Talk. Where the Shag Harbor UFO sighting was front page news. Could
wow.
be something concrete in Shag Harbor UFO, RCAF.
Oh
That's
my.
The Royal Canadian Air Force.
Is that your old-timey radio voice?
Yeah. I think I have slightly. What did it say? Could be something concrete in Shag Harbor UFO. RCAF.
It's like
continue search today.
It's like the guy from the radio station, but like just 20 years earlier from like, what's your radio station? Honey Buns or something? DJ Honey.
Oh yeah, DJ Honey. I can't remember how that was.
DJ
like,
Honey.
On the buzz.
Yeah.
Charlotte's number one adult contemporary station. Something like that.
Yeah, it's like you started in like radio entertainment. Like yeah, like you know, like when you would listen to like old, like the Ranger or whatever
yeah.
on the radio.
Ranger.
Thank you. I am really struggling with words. And then his career progressed into like DJ host.
Yeah, I feel like the morning news guy, he's got a little bit jazzes up his voice a little more.
Uh-huh.
Kind of holds on to his sounds at the end. Where the newscaster is.
I just love it so much. I hope this is entertaining.
A little more formal. We have to cut off our sounds to sound more important. Have to instill fear in the general public.
I want that sound in the background.
Everyone, get inside quickly. The Russians are coming.
Oh no! Now you started to morph into DJ Honey.
Now DJ Honey would be like, "Everyone, get inside. The Russians are coming. They seem angry."
In fact, he is angry.
Get inside and put on the buzz. Charlotte's number one adult and contemporary station. DJ Honey. I don't know.
We've been getting emails. Don't people think it's funny?
Okay, good. So yeah, so that's my stories.
Okay.
Now I get to hear yours.
The yellow sulfur stuff. That is really, really...
The sulfurous foam.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, that's not the word I wanted. Fascinating, unique, surprising. Anything other than these three words, which this is such a cool... design.
Yeah, it is
from
cool.
one of our fans, Meredith.
So many cool designs.
So many things.
Got this little Mothman guy.
I know, he's so cute.
Oh, he is cute.
Oh, I was going to say, he has a nose ring too. She. Okay.
Well, I think it is from the Time Suck site, and I think it's Mothman's girlfriend.
It is?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
She's very cute.
She's so cute. I just like that there's such a wide range of things. Well, this is from the Time Suck site, right? I thought Logan did, so we have so much merch, we can't keep it straight. I thought that what you had was like the sort of like kid friendly scared to death stuff, like the like fun creatures.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And I think that this is cryptids from Time Suck.
Okay.
Because I was very confused because I saw this and I was like, well, that shirt's in the wrong section of the store. And then Logan was like, no, you aren't following along, Lindsay.
Yeah, I know I love the store is so robust.
I know, it's really cool. Like
it's like a cool mall of interesting and weird things online.
Yeah. Yeah. We have like meetings with various people all the time and they'll like ask about, you know, our merch or I don't know. It'll come up somehow in a conversation. We're like, oh, you should check it out. And the emails are always like, holy shit, what yeah. is happening over there? We're like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Which of our Layla armies?
I got yellow today.
I wish that we had a true orange Layla for Halloween. We've got black.
Pumpkin colored Layla.
A Layla with a pumpkin head.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That'd be really cute. I like this one. Reminds me of like a lemon pastry.
Oh.
Like I should be able to like bite Layla's head off. And it'd be so delicious.
I like that we're both hungry because in my mind, I was like, that looks like mustard. I want a hot pretzel. That's where my brain went. We're all on this side of the show, our very own Darren.
Okay.
Now it is creepy, but I just love that this person, like, pretty much off the bat is like, yeah, a little bit of a Darren. More curious than scared, but, like, you know, not doing something repetitively because they're scared, but more like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I just think it's pretty fun. What would you do in a situation where you were pretty sure there was something paranormal going on? You weren't necessarily afraid of it,
mm-hmm.
but you wanted it to go away. Would you confront it or would you just bail? Paranormal, not really scared. Confront it and say, like, peace out?
Yeah, it depends on where I am. I mean, if I'm home, I'm going to have to confront it.
What if you're in an Airbnb?
I guess it depends on how much time I have left there. If I'm not scared.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I would ask it to leave.
Might leave it for the next person?
Well, yeah. If it's not scary, okay. I don't know.
All right. Well, I have a hard time believing that for me, if I encounter anything, that I'm not just going to be like immediately practicing all the things I know to practice to get rid of it.
Huh.
I want to save the next person some heartache, maybe.
Well, but if it's being nice, maybe just let it be.
Is it? But how often is it that it's nice?
I know, it starts nice.
To gain your trust.
Yeah.
And then
it gets dun, real dun, creepy. Dun.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's check this story out. I love this. Hey, Dan and Lindsay, I love your podcast and I'm steadily making my way through the episodes. It gives me something to listen to at work. And I'm often laughing out loud at my desk because of your antics. Possibly not the response you want from listening to a scary story. But as you'll soon find out, that's kind of my take on the paranormal. As an adult, I would say I'm a creeper, but as a young child, I was terrified of the dark and everything in it. I was sure the house was going to burn down or someone was going to come to get me in the night. From a very young age, less than 3 years old, I remember hearing footsteps on the stairs when no one was there. And then, when I was a little older, seeing shadow figures coming up the stairs to get me, having radios start playing on their own at night, and so on and so on. These experiences meant I didn't sleep in my own room consistently until I was in my early teen years because I was so afraid. Luckily, my mom was very supportive and listened, even if she wasn't sold on what I was saying to be true. She could see I was freaked out and didn't force me to face my night terrors alone. As an adult, my brushes with the paranormal have been much less, and I left most of my fear behind. I firmly believe in ghosts, spirits, and the paranormal, but now my attitude is much more unbothered. You might even call me a Darren. I just don't have time for any spooky shit. They can come back and annoy me when they have a 12-hour shift to work. I frequently say out loud when there are weird noises in my room and I'm walking to the bathroom in the dark, or the one time I was held down in bed by a super sketchy-looking thing, I say, "Piss off! Some of us have to work in the morning." If they were so powerful, and capable of harm, why not show up in the middle of the day and do something really worth my while? And until then, well, I don't have the energy to be scared. That being said, I still don't watch horror movies because my overactive imagination does not need more fuel and I'm easy to jump scare. Okay, so this story is not about any of what I would classify as small or irregular paranormal experiences, but my one big encounter that honestly, I didn't even really view as a haunting until I was describing it afterwards to some friends and they were like, "Hold up, that is pretty sketchy." So at the time of the story, I worked as a live-in nanny for a family, and I escorted their 3-year-old daughter from the UK to America as the parents were already out there for a business trip with their baby that was just a few months old. We arrived at midnight, and when we got to the house they had rented, I remember thinking it had a weird vibe. My room had these 3 full-length curtains, but instead of covering a window, they covered an opening into a small additional room, almost like an enclosed balcony. The whole room did not have a great feeling to it, but if any of you have taken a toddler on a 12-plus hour long-haul flight, sleep was far more important. Sure enough, 3 hours later, I was on call because the children were awake. The weird happening started almost immediately. The house had a room off the kitchen, which was locked, as well as a locked basement, which was a little weird. Then we started hearing strange noises from the basement, and soon we were joking that someone was down there. Next, the kids' stuff started going missing. plates, cups, toys, all of this that had been downstairs in the living and dining room area. And then the next day, when no one was around, things would go missing. Again, I remember joking, it was a ghost taking the kids' stuff, and I didn't think much more of it. The parents were out most of the day with work, so I was alone with the kids. I took them out a lot to get exercise and not go stir crazy, but we would come back home for nap time. One day, I'd put the kids down to sleep in their room and was downstairs cleaning up and preparing the dinner. I heard the eldest call out my name, which she often did when she woke up. I called back that I was just coming, and all the while thinking, great, she's barely slept. Walking up the stairs, I opened the door to their room and found both kids fast asleep. I remember standing there for a second, so sure I had heard her voice. Specifically, I'd know her voice anywhere. It had been maybe no more than 30 seconds from her calling my name to me getting upstairs. And here I'll also point out that the kids don't use my full first name because it was hard to say when they were first learning to talk. So they call me by a shortened nickname. And it was this name that the voice had used when calling out. Slightly more weirded out, but still not fussed, I decided the ghost had probably been the one to call out and had just mimicked the child's voice. I went back downstairs and carried on with my day. There were more and more noises from the basement to the point that the father tried to make a shank to bust the lock so that we could take a look. I know, looking back, it's like, what the fuck, people? But he wasn't able to get in. And like I mentioned, the house had a weird vibe, and we all said it was never somewhere we would ever stay again. Over the following days, the kids' stuff continued to go missing, and it just kept going like it was totally normal. Cut to our last day before we left. I was packing up all of the kids' stuff, so we were ready to leave on time. I still could not find a large portion of their stuff anywhere and was now getting a little pissed off. So I stood in the main living area and called out, if there's a ghost that's been taking our stuff, we leave tomorrow and I need it back. So it better be returned before we leave tomorrow. And you'll never guess what. The next day, I found everything as if it had never been missing, and I got it all packed up. I thanked the ghost, and we flew home, and only when recounting this story as a bit of a joke around the dinner table with friends did their horrified faces and no way reactions hit me. I would have left there after that, my friends yelled. Makes me question if I actually should have felt more fear than I did at the time. I hope this spooky little story I hope this story is spooky enough to warrant a place on your podcast. And I'd just like to mention, in true Darren fashion, off the back of some recent episodes, that if in the current economic climate there was a cheap house going, whose only flaw was that it was haunted, well, you best bet I'd be moving in and the ghost would be my new flatmate.
Oh my God.
Up at 3 a.m. banging and crying, I'll wear earplugs and play some nice rain sounds. Ghostly apparitions, I'll wear an eye mask to bed so I can't be scared by what you can't see. Any other weird shit, I'll sage the house and do whatever other voodoo to assert myself as top dog in the spiritual hierarchy because unless they pay rent, they need to back up and take a seat. Huge love. Keep on doing what you're doing. Anonymous.
That's a really funny, scary also, but whoever this anonymous person is, they should be I started picturing the Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Where like if you're that comfortable with like the spirit world and willing to challenge it.
I know.
That's somebody I would want to hire if I had problems. Like
totally. They're like, whatever, I got this.
When you asked earlier about how much would you put up with or like in an Airbnb, unless I was getting it wrong, but I don't think so. Because I know a lot of times Airbnbs, which makes sense, the owner will lock a portion of the area to store their own stuff.
Totally.
So it sounds like this was a basement that was locked, and the basement's where they're hearing a lot of the noises from and the voice.
Yes.
I'm assuming, I can't think of a basement that has multiple entrances. Usually, it happens sometimes, but that wasn't brought up in the story.
Mm-mm.
Because what I would think, what would scare me right away is if I'm hearing stuff down there and I can't get in, like the guy, the parent, the dad, tried to get in. She said shank.
Yeah.
And couldn't get in through the door. If there was a window, an egress window or something where you could get in, then I'd be worried about an intruder. Like somebody is down there.
Oh.
Outside of that.
I love that that didn't even cross my mind.
Well, it doesn't sound like that was the case. I am guessing very strongly that it was one way in, one way out of this basement, which is that door.
Mm-hmm.
And in that situation where then it reads more paranormal to me, I mean, I guess somebody could go and lock themselves in there.
They could have somebody that they abducted and put down there.
Oh my God. Yeah, that would make me want to leave. Because I wouldn't be able to go to sleep mm-hmm. in a house with a basement that I can't go check out for myself
mm-hmm.
where I'm fucking hearing voices down there. That's across the line for me.
Okay.
It's like I'm either kicking that door in, like I'm breaking the door off the hinges to see what's down there, or I'm leaving.
Okay. Okay.
If I could break the door, get down there, and really feel satisfied that nobody is down there and nobody could have, like, while I'm kicking the door down, gotten out,
mm-hmm.
then I might be able to stay there.
Okay.
If it's you know, definitely a spirit, but even still, like, that is creepy.
I love that this nanny stood in the living area and was like, listen, we're leaving tomorrow. We're leaving. I need my shit back. Because here's the
thing. I can't believe that worked.
I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Like, are they sure there wasn't some creep? But if there was a creep in the basement,
right?
Why would the creep give them their stuff back?
Well, right, because if they're a creep and they like kid stuff, if they're pedo, that's their fetish, that's their thing. I was relating to this story on so many levels because when I lived in LA, I was a nanny for so many years.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's like, I imagined myself in this one particular house of like, I would be standing like at the kitchen sink doing dishes. I had just put their youngest of four down for a nap. And if I would have heard little Alana like say my name, the kids all called me Lulu, which, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. is my nickname.
Yeah.
If I went in there and then she was sound asleep, not faking it the way the kids
do
or whatever.
You could tell usually.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think I would be waking the baby up and be like, just kidding, you're not getting a nap today. We're going outside. Like,
mm-hmm.
this person is incredibly brave. And I like that they're just kind of brazen about it. Just like, yeah, right. Fuck off.
And it sounds like what they said, like they dealt with so much growing up that they kind of became jaded towards it.
Which is an interesting take because mm-hmm. normally it's like
when you get more scared.
Mm-hmm, or you become more critical of it. But like this person is just brushing it off laughing.
Yeah, I guess there could be that angle where it's like, let's say you're terrorized a lot, you know, growing up by some kind of paranormal situation. And but you never get actually hurt.
Right.
Or, you know, nothing like bad, like, you know, you're not actually damaged anyway. You're not physically assaulted. You're not afraid that you're going to lose your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how you could just acclimate to it and be like, whatever, I'm going to see a spirit. But then just like before, nothing's going to happen.
I mean, is it just really no different than being harassed by your older sibling for years and years and years on end? And then you just like get used to it. You're like, whatever.
I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that feels like their approach.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love it.
That's a great story.
Yeah, I just thought, I mean, creepy, but also super fun and just mm-hmm. a different portrayal of something that has happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this next story,
This is the plane one, right?
This is what I was working on the plane. It
doesn't, oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
It doesn't happen on a plane, but it just had me thinking about, like, I mean, like, a plane is such an interesting location of, like, like for us, we get on a plane, we immediately get on our computers, right? And then like there's a certain period of time where you don't have Wi-Fi. So then you're watching a TV show. Maybe you doze off for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like kind of always in this weird sort of like in and out state, mm-hmm, especially mm-hmm. if you're particularly tired or it's an evening flight.
Yeah.
There's just so many creepy things that could happen on a plane.
Totally.
In a paranormal way.
Yeah.
Like the bathroom. Oh my God. How many people have had heart attacks in bathrooms on airplanes and have maybe died in there?
Is that a thing? I don't know.
I have flight attendant friends. I'm going to find out. But I don't know. But it sent me over the edge also because when I got back to New Orleans, you had gone to Florida and I was going to have to drive home by myself in the dark. And you'll see in a minute, I was afraid like, oh, I'm so tired. What if I have to take a nap on the side of the road, which is the premise of this story. And I was like, oh God, oh buddy. I was so scared the whole way home. Hello, Dan and Lindsay.
Hello.
My boyfriend and I have a tradition of passing our drives from Utah to Montana while listening to Scared to Death or Time Suck. I personally am more of a spooky lover, so I prefer Scared to Death, especially when we're driving through the narrow mountain passes and I can almost see things peeking out from behind the trees. Anyways, I have a story from you that I think I have a story for you that I think you may be interested in. In 2018, I decided to drive from Utah to New Mexico to visit my brother who lived in Albuquerque. It was my first time taking a solo road trip, and I'd planned the trip carefully. The trip home was not well planned, though. I'd left pretty late, and despite the long summer day, it started to get dark barely an hour after I left the city. As I approached the border of New Mexico and Colorado, I grew unnaturally exhausted. Chalking it up to the late hour and the excessive traveling, I thought it would be fun and exciting to pull off and sleep in my Jeep along the road. I took an exit at random that was in the middle of nowhere and trundled down a dirt road and into a big open desert for the night. I took a moment to step out of my car and take in the absolute nothingness I was surrounded by. The sky was clear and star-strewn, but absolutely moonless. Being alone doesn't bother me, and I enjoyed the few minutes I spent staring at the stars. I couldn't see anything of the desert once I switched off my headlights, and the darkness was heavy. I leaned the old driver's seat back, cracked the window for airflow, and settled down for some sleep. Except I couldn't sleep. Irritated, I shifted in my seat, adjusted my pillow, and grumbled to myself. I had literally pulled off because I was so exhausted. Why couldn't I sleep? It wasn't too much later when I first heard a noise in the night. The sound of drums, slow and heavy, broke the silence. I shot up straight, peered around in every direction. Nothing. Darkness as far as I could see. The beat was just low and dull enough that I figured I was imagining it and should try to sleep anyways. I lay back down, but I didn't dare close my eyes. I listened intently to the drums, and for a minute, that's all I heard. And then I heard the laughter. I cannot even begin to describe the laughter as human. It was a terrible, shrieking cackle that split the night. That was quite enough for me. Tossing my pillow to the passenger side and straightening my seat, I fumbled around in the dark for my keys. All went silent. The drums stopped too. I froze and squinted out the window. There was no movement, and the darkness was unchanged. But a trickle of fear started rolling down my back, and my skin broke out into goosebumps. I don't know what was out there, but I knew I wasn't alone. Keeping my eyes peeled to the window, I groped around in the dark for my keys. They weren't in the console, and they weren't in the passenger seat, not in the door either. My heart raced faster and faster. Then I heard a low whisper, quite nearby, and it said my name. I jumped about a mile in the air, and the laughter broke out again, with the drums returning at a faster tempo. My name was repeated louder this time, and I flung myself down to see if the keys were possibly on the floorboard. They had somehow snuck under the driver's seat, and I snatched them, thankfully. Drums pounding, laughter cut with horrible voices shrieking my name, I started my car. The moment of turning on my headlights drove a deep fear into me. I don't want to see who or what was calling my name. I didn't want to know. Thankfully, I saw nothing. I turned my car towards the road, and as the headlights turned a radius, they caught a dark figure fast approaching my car. It was too tall to be a person. It moved with an inhuman walk. It was almost fluid in its gait. I finished my turn back to the road and drove the fuck out of there. I never looked back. I think my mouth stayed open in a silent scream as I peeled down the highway. The knot in my gut didn't upside until I reached the Colorado border. I somehow knew that if I pulled over again at any point in New Mexico, I may not make it home. That night, I booked a hotel in Cortez, Colorado. I woke up in cold sweats throughout the night and listened intently for drums, but I never heard anything. I have not revisited New Mexico since. Thanks so much for this podcast, you two. I hope you know that you and Dan are such goals, and my boyfriend and I are in Montana all the time, so we always get stoked when you all cover Montana stories. All the best, Iveta.
Iveta. Man, the land of enchantment was extra enchanting down there in New Mexico.
But the skinwalkers down in New Mexico, too, I mean, that's like a huge part of that lore, yeah?
Yeah, this is part of the lore of a couple different tribes or nations down there in that area. The drumming is very weird. Like, yeah, that's such an odd detail to, like, before the shadowy creature is spotted, to hear not just, like, weird sounds, but actual, like, drumming.
I know. It kind of makes sense to me, though, if we're thinking about it possibly being tribal. you know, or, you know, then it's like, okay, well, who's to say that like ghosts or spirits can't perform what they performed in life, right? So like a spirit beating a drum, like a whole drum circle, like, you know, maybe they're conjuring something up. Maybe they were praying for rain. Like, you don't know like what these tribes could have been doing at any point that like a whole group of them could have died or like, right? Like, so all these spirits are together recreating what they knew in life.
It made my mind go to this place of like time not being as linear as we think it is.
And
like weird ripples and that whole like
glitch in the matrix
kind of thing where it's like she's hearing and seeing something from another time, like another era that suddenly is like split into our reality in some way a little bit. I don't know. I think about that stuff like parallel universes and time kind of like, I mean, every time I think of these type of thoughts, I immediately think of True Detective, Matthew McConaughey, time is a flat circle. And just like his, you know, just always going around and around. What if they're always screaming or, well, I don't know.
You know, I'm currently obsessed with him.
Oh, yeah. You're really in McConaughey right now.
Oh, my God. Green Lights, you guys. Such a good book. And he does the voiceover on Audible. And it's, I mean,
Matthew McConaughey's silky voice.
That is literally not at all what he sounds like at all.
He does have a very good voice.
He does.
He has a great voice.
He has a great voice. And he.
All right. All right. All right. He was that guy so long ago.
Mm-hmm. He's still that guy. He talks like all about like the drumming, the bongo thing. And
yeah, good for him. Yeah, he seems like a cool dude.
He is a cool dude.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I actually didn't realize, I don't want to call him like staunchly religious, but like I think.
Spiritual, right? Is he very spiritual?
I think he goes to church like every week.
Like actually is religious.
Like actually is religious. Huh? You know, yeah. I mean, raised in the South and, you know, all
I think he was raised in a small Texas town, wasn't he?
Uvalde.
That's right. Because he gave that heartfelt speech. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, Kelly Clarkson. That's right.
Kelly Clarkson, too, I think, either was born and raised there or lived there for a while.
Kelly Clarkson, that same little town. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I keep saying that fucking word. Yeah.
I know. Well, it's an all-encompassing word.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, hey, man, that's so cool. Like, cool is also.
I know there are a few words where it'd be really hard to replace them.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to say good. Or you don't get to say, you know, I'm trying to think of other very common adjectives. Or bad, just like the basics. No more saying bad, no more saying good, no more saying great.
You know,
like,
what's a hard one to get rid of that's not an adjective?
Huh?
Got.
Got, yeah.
I had a seventh grade teacher, Miss Aletta. Her theme of my seventh grade year was down with got. We were not allowed to say it. We're not allowed to write it, not allowed to use it. And when
she would replace, I'm guessing, with have. You don't got to go. You have to go. You need to go. You
and it
should
go. I have to.
Oh, have to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was pretty. But looking back on it, I remember thinking, just like how once we called out wild, cool, and interesting, you don't recognize that you're doing it until someone highlights it. And then you think, oh.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yes. New Mexico ghosts, drums, ripples in time. Time is a circle. How did we get to Matthew?
Good stories.
Yeah, I really, that story. Because sometimes I truly get so tired, especially in the early days of bad magic growing, and we were hustling.
Oh, yeah. Like, you would sleep in the car sometimes.
I would drop the kids off at school, and then I'd pull off somewhere and sleep for half an hour because there was just, you know, I'd been up till 12 or 2 and then had to get up at 6 or 7 with the kid. You know, just like we had these short turnarounds. Mm-hmm. So this concept of like rest stops, sleeping at rest stops, pulling off on the side of a road, just anywhere, parking lots, like I have done that, and the stretch from Spokane to Coeur d'Alene, the freeway, it's just a 2-lane freeway, and it, I wouldn't call it wooded, but it's not brightly lit.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of forest around. It is quite a creepy setting. So to have this story, I love it. And then that like skinwalkery type thing that she saw, too tall, too thin, weird gait. So it's like, oh, was there like a drum circle? Like, was it bringing it back to life? And then the shrieking and the calling of her name. I don't know. It's just.
Also, we haven't had time to watch that many shows recently, but Lindsay and I did just finish the new, finally. I know it's not even new now, but season 4 of Stranger Things.
It was great.
It was. I really liked it. I mean, I like really that show anyway, it. But that was my favorite season. And
season one and season four,
are the two tops for me.
Yeah. I am annoyed that it's going to keep going on.
I liked it. I think this next one's going to be even creepier. But I like that it was more horror centric. Mm-hmm. You know, like it definitely is in that fantasy realm. And yes, there's horror elements, but it was the scariest season. I mean, it's not a terrifying show, but it was nice and spooky in season four.
If I was like 8 or 10, I think I'd be scared.
Totally.
Because I had, I did have some moments early on watching it. I was like, I don't know. I'm kind of scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they did a good job. Mm-hmm. I just don't like that it's going to be like a year and a half before we get the next season. And that's why I'm any more with shows. I'm like, you gotta make it tight.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, also just really quickly talking about TV shows, I started watching The Patient without you. Steve Carell, fucking phenomenal, but this isn't like ruining anything. Yeah. If you've seen any of the previews, chained up in a basement.
Yeah.
And wow. So when we were talking about my first story with like something in the basement, I immediately was like, Steve Carell's in the basement. Let him out.
Do you want to shout out some Annabelles?
I would love to, Dan.
Okay.
I would like to thank the following Annabelles for their support on Patreon and helping us to make awesome donations on your behalf. Carrie Goodwin, Lord Lucifer, Stacey Walters, Chauncey Fuller, Danny Hopkins, Bean Lord, Jacob Ferguson, Sarah Mills, Ron Loy, Mackenzie Johnson, Evan M., Jennifer Winkler, Stephanie Mariscanish, Bodacious Loki, Ariel and Joe Pedersen, Call Me Lou, Luke Hoffer, Amanda Veery, Andrew Green, Amanda Tyson, Hustling Panda, Sarah Peterson and Travis Tripp, Cameron Mattingly, Victoria Diamond, it's either Victoria Diamond or I spelled it wrong and it's Victoria Diamonda. Justin Dube, Briar Gnardi, and Biohazard Max.
Nice. I'm going to thank or shout out to Annabelle's. I'm going to do the old-timey newscaster voice.
Oh, I love
Maybe
it.
Maybe it'll help me pronounce these words. I would like to thank Sherry Law, Skylar Barrick, Austin Wenslick, Rhonda Rains, Mia Santina, Ariel Ontiveros, Genevieve Bowman, Angelica Jimenez, Cecilia Landwer.
Why does it make you go so fast?
I'll slow down for the rest of these. There's just imminent danger and we have to get inside. But I'll continue to thank Cecilia Landwer, Nora Hopkins, Kendra Euler, Becca Piling, Roxanne Bollinger, Megan Watson, Christopher Linville, Jonathan Guther, Terry Hall, Cole Martin, AJ Pais, or Pays, KBJ321, Jordan Yates, Jessica M., Bradley, Garrett Healy, and Shannon Hale.
Nice.
I think I might have pronounced words a little bit better doing that voice.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Maybe I just had more confidence. I sounded more confident in the mispronunciation, perhaps.
Yeah. It did start to lend itself to DJ Honey. I think you only got the old-timey voice, like, initial.
Slight variations on it.
It was a little bit softer, and that was still a little aggressive.
Well, that was supposed to be. I wasn't doing DJ Honey. That was the newscaster.
I know, but I'm saying he sounded more like DJ Honey. He was too aggressive.
I got to really work on this.
I know. It's important. You to focus on it. Also, like Linville, that is not a common last name. Are you related to one Joe Linville?
Huh?
Just question. Email me if you are. Okay. Spoopy shout outs to Joanne from Jack. Happy anniversary. To Alyssa, a.k.a. Lil Sippy, from Josh. I love you, and I can't wait to marry you. He calls her Lil Sippy because she uses, like, a sippy cup for her alcoholic beverages and just carries it around with her. Like, I'm imagining, like, my Starbucks, like, spiky cup, but, like, a little one full of booze, and I think I want to be friends with her. To Bam from Bailey, happy one-year anniversary. To Sabrina from Chansey, happy belated birthday. And to Megan from your dad, Ron, I'm so proud of you for stepping outside of your comfort zone and so jealous of your trip. I love you. So cute, this dad.
Yeah.
His daughter is just like introverted. And she did some big like group tour kind of trip to like Europe or something. Mm-hmm. Like if she's a kid who like is like, I stay in my room and I read books and I keep to myself, like did like the polar opposite.
Oh, wow.
I know. Cool. It's so fucking cool.
Yep. Good on them. And that is our show. Thank you for continuing to send in your personal tales of terror to mystory@scaredtodeathpodcast.com. Email us for everything else, info@scaredtodeathpodcast.com. Thanks to Logan Keith for his work on social media, along with Tyler C. And to Logan again for running badmagicmerch.com. Thanks to producer Olivia Lee for finding today's first story and to producer Sophie Evans for finding the second. Thanks to Tyler C. for producing and directing today.
Woohoo!
Thanks to Zach Cohen for custom soundbed creation, Heather Rylander for organizing the My Story emails, and to book editor Drew Atana for polishing and preparing the listener stories. Now for book number 4. Head to badmagicmerch.com to grab tickets for Scared to Death Live, Haunted Halloween, True Tales of Hallows Eve, Horror 2, stories that will only be told Thursday, October 27th, 6 p.m. Pacific time, but then we'll live for how many days afterwards?
7.
7 days.
We wanted to make sure that you could have it all the way through Halloween.
Enjoy your nightmares, creeps and peepers. Hope you were scared to death.
Bye.
If spirits threaten me in this place, fight water by water and fire by fire. Banish their souls into nothingness and remove their powers until the last trace. Let these evil beings flee through time and space. Evil may pass through, but hath no home here within, scared to death.
Any other weird shit, I'll sage the house and do whatever other voodoo to assert myself as top dog in the spiritual hierarchy, because unless they pay rent, they need to back up and take a seat.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.